We're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians. And if you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 6. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man or woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we have it here for us to turn to and read and to meditate upon and to study. But Lord, you also speak to us through the Word. It's not just something that's there, but you speak new and fresh each time we read it. As we have changed, your Word changes, even though it remains the same. Because, Lord, we can see it from a different perspective. Lord, might we see it from the perspective that you would have us to see it from today, or that would bring us a new and better and greater understanding of who you are and your grace, which you can make abound in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would be here right now, that your anointing would be upon me as I speak, that it would be your word and your power and your name that is lifted up and glorified. And Father, that it would be your people who are each one encouraged and blessed this morning. Be present here now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Paul is talking about this gift that he's collecting on behalf of the church in Jerusalem. Been going on about it for a couple of weeks now, as far as we're concerned. But he takes a significant portion of the letter of 2 Corinthians to talk about this, the collection. And last week we saw how they did things right so that there could be no accusations of corruption or misuse. And the week before that we saw how the gift was one which was to be given as an example to others, and also out of gratitude. Here, we're again reminded, it's a grateful heart that the Lord wants us to give from. We're not supposed to be giving because somebody is saying, you should be doing that. If you don't, you're bad. That's not why we should give. Peter, the song that he sang this morning. Who else was singing with him? Nancy. Peter and Nancy. When they were singing this morning, that song said, you know, the more I seek after you, the more I find you, and the more I find you, the more I know you, and the more I know you, the more I love you. This is where we should be coming from, because we love God so much, because we are so thankful for what He has done for us, because where He has taken us from and where He has brought us to is such an amazing thing. He has taken us out of the depths of sin and brought us into the very household of God, from being slaves to being children of the living God. Quite different. Quite something to be thankful for. And He's promised that His blessings and His grace will abound. But we're reminded here, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Now, this passage has been abused, people, so terribly. There has been preacher after preacher that has gotten up and said, you know, you need to give more. You know, give me $100 and I'm going to give, you know, God will give you $1,000. That is not what that scripture is teaching us. What it is teaching us is that, yes, we do need to give generously if we're going to reap a bountiful harvest. But it's not always about giving financially. This situation was and is. But you'll notice that the return that comes, this bountiful harvest that comes back, which He speaks about later, isn't monetary. It's various forms of God's grace and blessing. It's not always a monetary thing. You know what? If I got $1 million in my pocket, but I got no food, and I've got nobody who will sell me any, and I've got nowhere where I can get any, the $1 million doesn't do me a lot of good, because I can't eat it. I might try, but it's not going to. There's no nutritional value. It's just a waste. But God will give me that which I need. I don't always need food. Sometimes I just need a hug. Don't you? Sometimes I just need somebody to listen to me. Poor Donna, she's got to listen to me. Sometimes, you know, I just got to spout off and talk, and, you know, and she just got to listen and let it go. She's better at listening than I am. You know, I want to fix it. You know, but she understands the whole listening thing. But sometimes that's what I need. That's a blessing. It's a grace. What Paul is talking about here is the principle of, if we try to hold tightly to that which God has given us, what we end up with is nothing. But if we are generous with what God gives us, what we end up with is a bounty. This is the way it works with love. This is the way it works with God's grace. It seems counterintuitive to us. We think that the more I try to gather in, the more I try to hoard, the more I try to keep for me, the more I'm going to have. The truth is that is just not so. We need to spread the seed generously. Just like a farmer. If a farmer puts one seed in the ground in a whole field, he's not going to have much of a crop. He's got to put a fair amount of seed in. Now, there comes a point of diminishing returns. I mean, you can take anything too far in an extreme. What we're talking about here, though, is being open and generous as the Lord leads and guides. And if we're following God's leading, God's guidance, God's direction, we're not going to give too much. But neither will we give too little. We will give the amount so that we will give enough so that His grace can abound in us. He makes His grace to abound in us. Okay? Notice that He does that. In verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound in you," or abound to you. And God is able. It's not your ability. It's not my ability. It's God's ability. But it does really require us to participate. For us to receive the fullness of God's grace, we need to allow that grace to flow through us. We can't just become a dam that holds it in and hoards it all. It doesn't work. Because God's grace isn't meant to be stored. It's meant to be shared. It's like love. It's one of God's graces, and it's meant to be shared. You want to love somebody? You want to be loved? Well, love them. Love others. Give away love. The more love you give away, the more love you will have. The more you try to hold on to it, the less you will have. That is the truth, and that is the way it works. Now, God is able to make all grace abound to you, to me, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Abound in every good work. He's just promised you employment. He's got a job for you. And He's going to put you to work. But you're going to abound in that work. That means you'll have a lot of it. But He's also saying that He's going to provide for that work. Now, we've heard it said by many people, many missionaries, you know, that God's work done in God's timing, in God's way, will never lack God's provision. Some variation on that has been said by multiple missionaries and pastors and just anybody who is doing God's work. You see this principle. I will point to Northbrook. Northbrook is not a wealthy church. We don't have anybody here with deep pockets. Not that I'm aware of. If you do have deep pockets, you've been hiding them very well. You'd think Kevin would have sniffed them out by now. Fact of the matter is, we're not dirt poor, but we're not far away from it. But yet, the Lord continually provides for us here so that ministry continues on and we move forward. And it always comes in a different direction, in a different methodology. Why? Because we're not trying to hold on. We've changed our mindset from saying, you know, it's all about taking care of us here, to saying, you know, how can we help those around us? Yes, we want to help one another, but it's more than just taking care of us. It's how can we touch this community for Christ? And because of that, God has blessed this place. Now, believe it or not, there are more people here now than there were when I came originally 10.5 years ago. We've had a lot of people come and go during those last 10.5 years. Some have left the church, this church, and gone to a different church. I don't know how many. There are probably some that have left the church entirely, if that occurs. That's not what I was talking about. What we're talking about here is there's people that come and go. But for a long time, this church continued to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And everybody got all worked up and concerned about the money. Right now, we just let Kevin worry about it, and we just don't, nobody else really cares. And God shows up. You know, our treasurers have traditionally here in the last 10.5 years been our biggest prayer warriors, because they look at what's coming in and say, "We can't do it, God," and they're right. But God blesses us with abounding grace. And He provides. Because we as a congregation are being open-handed in our grace. We're reaching out to those around us. And we're saying, God loves you. I love you. We've led people to Christ. We've held their hands as they've gone through tragedies. As they've gone through various things in life, we've been there for people. We've helped them celebrate. And we've helped them mourn. And during these times, we've held out the love of Christ. And God continues to give us more work to do. Our work is abounding. We got more to do now than we ever have. This is the blessing that's being talked about. But it's also the blessing that comes, we see at the end of the chapter, where Paul goes on to talk about the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see, by the work that Paul was doing, collecting this offering to take to Jerusalem, the church in Corinth had been an encouragement to other churches. They said, yeah, we're going to take this special offering. Everybody else heard that and said, hey, that's a great idea. We should do that too. So they had a whole bunch of churches getting together. So you had everybody being encouraged that way. Then you had the church back in Jerusalem being encouraged, hearing that everybody else cared. And they're taking the time and the effort to raise this. And not only are they getting them something, but it's such a significant amount that they got Paul like 3-4 bodyguards and money guards to watch the money, to make sure that it's being used properly, that it's going to actually get to where we said it was going to go, because we all know that doesn't always happen, right? Somebody tells us that the money's for this and they're going to do that, and then it goes, well, we never saw it get from point A to point B. What happened in between? So many places that accounting doesn't occur. But Paul made sure that accounting was there. So when the money does show up in Jerusalem, what's going to happen is the people who receive this gift and who are blessed, whose lives are impacted by it, are going to praise God for all those who've done this work. So we've got God being praised in many different venues and ways. And also, these people are going to say, Lord, bless those who blessed us. I don't know about you, but I need people praying for me. My life is not perfect. It's true. Sometimes I make mistakes. And I step in it. Really bad. And I need somebody praying for me so that God will grace me. And so that whoever I've messed up with will grace me. And be forgiving and kind, and we can try to fix it. Sometimes I just need me fixed. Because I got a problem. And when people are praying for me, that is such an encouragement. And it is such a blessing. God does use those blessings. And this is what's occurring. It's not just, oh, I gave something to the offering, that's the end of it. That's not the end of it. It starts a chain of thanksgiving to God and encouragement to the brothers and sisters in Christ, and encouragement to those who are going to be blessed by that gift, that they turn around and they bless God and they bless those who gave. And we have this circle of love and encouragement and grace and blessing going on, which is so much more than the sum of its parts. It's called synergy. It's called God stuff. He makes 2 plus 2 equal 222. How does He do it? He's God. But that's the way it works. So when we get stingy, when we get greedy, when we say, you know, I'm more concerned about me than I am about what God wants or about anybody else. What we do when we do that, what we're doing is we're cranking down on the faucet of God's blessing, and we're shutting it off. The more we crank it down, trying to hold more for us, the more we lose, the less we have. It's kind of like our bathtub at our house. The drain doesn't close really well. And if you want to fill the tub and keep the tub full, you need to continually be putting water in the tub. But if you shut off the water because you plugged it up, it just doesn't work. It just drains out. And sooner or later you find what you have instead of a nice hot tub is you're cold and there's nothing in there with you. This is God's blessing. This is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be rich. Open that faucet. Give to others. Bless others. As God directs us. Okay? It's not just walk around and, oh, here, have my money, do whatever. No, no, no. We're supposed to be seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. And we're supposed to be giving out of thankfulness. And we're not giving because somebody's holding a knife to my throat or a gun to my head, or if I don't do it, they're going to think bad things about me. Everybody else is, so I have to too. No. You give because God has raised up within you a desire, put an urgency in your heart, and said, that one's not life. Knocks on your heart and says, hey, I want you to give. When God does that, then you say, okay, Lord, how much? And he says, this much? You say, really? Okay. And we do it. And sometimes it's giving all we have, like the widow at the temple who gave the 2 small coins. But again, because she gave what she had selflessly and willingly, she gave out of her poverty. That was more theologically than those who gave out of their riches, out of their wealth, that which they wouldn't even notice that was missing. For a wealthy man to give $100 is not a big deal. For a poor man to give $100 is. Sometimes it's a big deal to give $1 for a poor man. That might be all they have. But if God has directed them to do so, and they can do so from a point of thankfulness to God, I say, do it. And that is sowing generously. It's based upon what we have been given by God. Again, to back up to earlier in chapter 8, in verse 12, it says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So just as the Lord gives the farmer the seed grain, he gives us the things in our lives to give. Sometimes what we need to give is money, yes. But sometimes what we need to give is our time. Sometimes what we need to give is our ear. Sometimes we need to give a shoulder. a presence. Sometimes we need to give the work of our hands. It's different in each situation. But when we do so generously, God can best use that to bring back into our lives His abundant grace. We want to experience God's abundant grace in our lives. We need to share what He has put into our hands with those around us. Again, let me be clear. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously is not a command or is not a promise to that if you put $10 in the plate, you're going to get $100 back. It is, however, a promise from God that if you give according to His direction, generously, from a heart that is full of thankfulness, He will pour blessings into your lives that will make that which you gave insignificant in comparison. And He will use that which you gave in ways that you never would have imagined to touch more people than you ever would have thought. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us and that You want to touch us. Lord, we thank You that You are rich towards us in Your mercy and grace. Lord, might we too be rich towards others and towards You. Lord, might we not seek to hold everything in, but instead, Lord, might we seek just to be conduits of Your love and mercy. Father, might Your grace abound. Might You make all grace abound to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.